The Guardian. In front of me is a beautiful dance, un baile precioso. Each couple is practicing salsa, a Cuban dance that has become popular all over the world. To bring the seductive Latin salsa alive, dancers need to have some chemistry with their partner. It's something that's really obvious in some of the best couples here.
Probably the most attractive thing in a person is someone who finds me attractive and me interesting. But what I actually find attractive is someone who's creative or maybe passionate, someone who's got something to say, and someone who's got something to say that isn't the same as what I've got to say.
Hello, my name is Camilla Ruse, and on this week's Science Weekly, I'm going to be investigating human attraction and how one set of genes might be influencing who we choose as a partner and whether we stay with them.
The influence of my genes, I'm not sure how influential that is, because if I look at the range of people who I've found attractive, there isn't particularly any pattern. There's like from every single background, all kind of things, and I don't think the genes have anything to do with that.
Well, actually, scientists have been looking into one particular set of genes that might have more to do with attraction than we realise. It's called the Major Histocompatibility Complex, or more simply, the MHC.
It's the collection of genes which are responsible both for rejection of tissues, say like a kidney transplant, as well as being responsible for educating the immune system and for presenting pathogens, parasites, microbes and viruses to the immune system for destruction.
That was Dr. Nicholas Hole, an immunologist from the University of Durham. These genes are involved in everything from identifying pathogens to allergies and even transplant rejection. But today, we're going to be focusing on the role that the MHC genes might play in attraction. Histocompatibility is where two people's MHCs are very similar. People who are related are more likely to have histocompatibility at the MHC. Now, an incompatible MHC sounds like a really bad thing, but actually, all it means is that your MHC and that of someone else's look very different, which isn't so bad when you're talking about immune system genes. But how do you know what someone's MHC is like without sequencing their DNA?
Some people say that there is a clue from the odour an individual gives off.
This is Dr. Leslie Knapp from the University of Cambridge. She's done a lot of research into the MHC.
There are some famous studies that have been done by researchers. A very famous study is this so-called T-shirt study, where women smelled the T-shirts worn by men for several nights, and then women smell the T-shirts. And the most attractive odours turned out to be the odours of genetically different males from the females that were doing the sniffing. So a female found a T-shirt most attractive if the odour came from a male that was MHC different from themselves, which suggests that an attractive odour then is someone that's different in the MHC from yourself.
So it looks like we are more attracted to the smell of people who have a different MHC to our own. But how stable are our preferences? Can we really trust our sense of smell?
Preferences for MHC dissimilarity appeared to be different between women who are using the pill and women who are not. So the women using the contraceptive pill tended to prefer relatively more MHC-similar men. This raised the possibility that pill use and suppression of the normal shifts in preference across the cycle could lead women who meet their partners on the pill to choose men who are more MHC-similar to themselves than they otherwise would. However, the problem with that study is that, of course, there are many differences between pill users and non-pill users. There could be differences in attitudes, in personality, in sexual experience, in any number of potential effects. So what we did a few years ago was to test women before and after initiating using the contraceptive pill. So we tested the same women when they're not using the pill at the fertile phase of their cycle, 3 months after initiating using the pill, and compared those shifts in preference with a treatment group of women who didn't use the pill at all. And what we found was that indeed, in the women who initiated pill use, they experienced a shift towards preference for much more MHC-similar men.
That was Dr. Craig Roberts from the University of Stirling. So according to Dr. Roberts, Not only might we be choosing a mate by the way the MHC smells, but we women might be changing our preferences with the contraceptive pill. But would this cause widespread concern? Let's return to our dance class.
I don't find it especially worrying because I think the initial attraction may be to do with looks, but then after that, it's not really based on that. Maybe it's a bit more worrying that something that I take every day could have an effect on my behaviour. But I'm sure there's lots of things that I take every day which have an effect on my behaviour.
Honestly, no, not even a tiny little bit, because if someone walked up to me and said, hey, my MHC is really different to yours, do you want to go on a date? I wouldn't go, oh, well, yes, we'll have brilliant babies.
Well, she might think that, but the most interesting thing about all of this is that if we are indeed choosing our partners for their MHCs, then it's all completely subconscious. You would never be able to make the choice between MHC people because you wouldn't even know you were doing it. But would it matter, even if we could, if I chose someone with an MHC similar to my own? Would it really make a difference? Here's Dr. Craig Roberts again.
If we find attractive members of the opposite sex who are MHC dissimilar, then that implies that relatively MHC similar individuals are going to be less attractive. And in this study in the States, which looked at a sample of real couples, established couples for at least 2 years, women in those relationships who were partnered with men who are relatively similar expressed high levels of dissatisfaction, particularly in the sexual aspects of their relationship. And this went so far as to be transferred into actual behaviour. So these same women, compared to women partnered with dissimilar men, said that they fantasized more often about extra pair partners and indeed engaged in affairs more frequently.
So the people in our dance class might have dismissed the importance of the MHC in terms of attraction, but as Dr. Nicholas Hole and Leslie Knapp explain, there is emerging evidence that the MHC genes might affect whether a pregnancy is successful or not.
There does appear to be some evidence emerging that the immune system does monitor the histocompatibility or incompatibility between offspring and mum, inasmuch as differences in the MHC can promote better implantation and placentation. If an inappropriate immune recognition has occurred, then there may be problems in terms of preeclampsia, which is an inability of mum to generate a sufficient blood supply to the placenta. However, these studies are very preliminary and only looked at in terms of populations of individuals. So the case in a single individual is likely much more complex than we can imagine.
There was a very interesting and very important classic study done in the Hutterites, which is isolated population of humans in the northern part of the United States. And the researchers that studied this population found that in the Hutterites, when MHC similar partners were paired, they had longer interbirth intervals, which meant that they went for a longer period of time before having another pregnancy, as compared with MHC dissimilar partners. So obviously they were either having early spontaneous abortion, or they were unable to conceive as often as, say, they would like.
This is actually quite close to home because my dad's a doctor, and being of West African origin, we have this sort of gene called the sickle cell gene, and depending on who you mix with, you could end up having a sickle cell kid, which some people see as the worst thing that could possibly ever happen to you. They think, no, whatever happens, avoid this at all costs. And for me, I don't think it would make a difference to me. I wouldn't say, no, I'm not getting married to you, or I'm not going to have kids with you because there's a chance. I'm like, I'm getting married to you, for better, for worse, whatever the heck happens.
And returning to Dr. Leslie Knapp.
I'm not saying that it exists in all members of a species or in all species, but it suggests that this could be something that is important to maintain genetic diversity and also important, especially in species where, say, there is not an opportunity to choose lots of different mates. So in endangered populations, it might be important. In small human populations where there isn't a lot of genetic diversity or where there's a lot of diseases, this might be something that is really important to maintain species and to maintain diversity. And so I think this does have some relevance maybe not in Cambridge, maybe not in London, but certainly in some parts of the world, and probably in our evolutionary history.
So I'm pretty sure that evolutionary history is not on the minds of anyone in this dance class. But clearly, we're only right at the beginning of understanding how important the MHC is in attraction. And maybe when it comes to dancers, they like to think that they're ruled by their toes and not by their nose.
It's definitely true. There's something about talent in dancing, especially when you're a dancer yourself. Seeing someone that really knows how to dance is really attractive. A friend of mine once noticed how women are very much, much more susceptible to this to men as well. So when women see a man that can dance, they find it much more attractive. And he always says that men pick up women that are much, much more attractive than they deserve to pick up just because they're good at dancing, and the women are totally blind to that fact.
Thank you for listening to Science Weekly with me, Camilla Ruth. For the best science news site on the web, go to guardian.co.uk/science. Science Weekly was produced by Jason Phipps. Goodbye.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.